One of the main tools of the occult anywhere in the world is the rhythm or the backbeat, or you could call it a blank beat in some cases, so that it shuts off the mind and it encourages possession. So drugs, sex, and rock and roll has been around a lot longer than since the 1950s. It is always the drumming, and the faster the drums, the more it hurts the mind. And so we saw that the beat is obviously the most dangerous part of the music. And so I'm going to drive that home just a little bit more. And we started talking about, then we looked into the history of music, and we saw how, you remember how secular and sacred music in the 1700s sounded the same? You couldn't hardly tell a difference. Nowadays, if you play what's in church and you play what the world's listening to, big contrast. Okay, so we went through the music and its history, gave you a light overview, then showed you what started coming along with how the beats were introduced to America in the 1800s. And then, is there a way you can turn this down just a smidgen? Just, do I sound a little loud? Maybe it's just to me. Maybe it's just to me. Okay, yeah, that's good, Dave. That, maybe it's just me. It's not the drugs. Then blues comes along, early 1900s. It develops into jazz. Then jazz develops into the big sound. And we kind of saw that. And then rock music begins, what we know as rock music begins in the 1950s. But there's been a progression. It has not always been that way, all right? There's always been a bad music, but it's not been this prevalent, okay? So tonight we're going to look at some more history. And notice this, in the Memphis Beat, that's an article, it's a book here by Larry Nager. He says the author talks of a part of Memphis that was involved in immorality, Mill Street. Okay, there's always been a lot about Mill Street Blues, all this stuff. This is where the houses of prostitution, the taverns, and the gambling places were. He states that there was always a certain type of music at Mill Street. And he says, the forbidden pleasures of Mill Street always came wrapped in the pulsing rhythms of the blues because of what it does to the body, all right, and how it shuts down the mind. Then you got B.B. King, he comes along and he makes this statement, the women reacted with their bodies flowing to the rhythm out of my guitar. Okay, sorry, I forgot about that. Okay, that's enough. notice he didn't say the rhythm coming from my drums, coming from my guitar. You can play any instrument with a bad rhythm. It does not take drums, and I'm going to show you that later. In other words, there's some music that does not have drums in it that's wrong. Okay, it's wrong because of how it's being played, and I'll show you that. But here, he makes that statement. Then Elvis Presley comes on the scene. Okay, he becomes the leading, figure, the new loved sound of rock and roll. And I don't know if you know this about Elvis Presley or not, but his suggestive stage antics made him enormously popular and controversial, okay, his hip movements and all that. He brought together country, pop, and rhythm and blues in a way that had never been done before. He had a unique sound. And at Elvis's live shows, the influence on the audience became increasingly fevered. Reports stated that he'd start out with "You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog," the crowd would go to pieces. Now, people call that oldie stuff, but it's still voodoo. The drums do the same thing to you as the occult. And it's amazing to me what Christians will justify music of the past, saying, oh, that's oldies, I know, but the beat was still just as poisonous. So as we learn about music and we learn how it hits, how it affects the mind and the body, it says they'd always react the same way. There was a riot at every Elvis Presley concert. Now look, if you had a riot everywhere, wouldn't you think, yeah, there was reason people saying, this is a bad guy. Okay? This is not a good guy. He causes riots at every concert, and that was just standard operating procedure. Okay? Elvis Presley, more than anybody else, Elvis gave the young a belief in themselves as a distinct and somehow unified generation. He was the first in America ever to feel the power of an integrated youth culture. In other words, you know, the moving of the teenagers and that sector of society. And his motto, do what thou wilt, Aleister Crowley. Started that back in the early 1900s and carries this through. Rock music becomes the vehicle. Then the 1960s hit. And you're going to start seeing from the 50s all the way through, it just gets darker and darker and darker. The sexual revolution of the 60s and the rebellion and the hippies. Well, guess what's coming along with that? Rock music is progressing in its stages. So you got the 60s, and the movement away from conservative state of America continues. And drugs become a major part of white suburban life for the very first time. And so now drugs start getting introduced into society. This is all the poison of the 60s. The drug experience, coupled with a new political awareness, helped create an underground youth movement. And let me see here. Youth now turned their thoughts more away from Jesus and opened themselves up to other Eastern spiritualistic ideas. Others opened up towards New Age ideas like astrology, ESP, but there's so much influx that happened in the 60s. A lot of damage happened to America, the universities, all of that. Ultimately, Satanism was on the rise in the 1960s. Then Aleister Crowley died in 1947, but he was also thought of as the father of the hippie counterculture movement. And he was considered the unsung hero of the 1960s. And remember, he was the man that his mother called the wickedest man in the world, and then finally the British newspaper did. Okay, bragged about breaking every one of the Ten Commandments, and then so just an evil man, but is behind the do what thou wilt. He was deep into shamanism, which is witchcraft, and obviously you know he wasn't a good guy. He taught that this satanic doctrine, do what thou wilt, should be cloaked under the lie of love. And what you learn about Satanism is a true Satanist could care less about Satan. They'll tell you, we call ourselves Satanists because we do what we want. We serve us, but we don't worship Satan. We get to do our own thing, and that's what Satan wants you to do, right? Anything but what God wants you to do. So the theme of Satanism and all this, do what thou wilt, okay? It's starting to, he believed the youth would fall for it. And then you have, then Elvis gets drafted into the army, okay? And that sound of rock music goes down, and a new sound comes on with the Beatles. So you got the British invasion happening in the 60s. And one of the most successful acts in history emerged, Beatlemania. They quickly transformed, though, and came to be perceived as the embodiment of progressive ideals. You know, progressive is communist. Okay, same thing. When Hillary says, I am a progressive, she's saying, I'm a communist, but they don't use the word communist anymore. Okay? So, progressivism goes all the way back to the 1920s, but here it's starting to come forward. The Beatles are big pushers of it. Evil, evil people. Okay? But once again, you got the same driving beat. Did the same thing at their concerts. Riots, all of that. It's because of the beat that is driving. It's a cultic, we could call it voodoo. It's same thing. Do what thou wilt. We'll decide what goes on. We do what we smoke, what we listen to, what we'll decide how to dress, how we talk, how we act, where we go. And the rebellion of the 60s was wrapped up in that. Nobody tells me what to do, okay? And it was just literally sheer rebellion, open, do your own thing. Do what thou wilt transforms into do your own thing. Then you've got Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, and this was where the Beatles made a collage and a whole bunch of faces of their best-loved heroes, And it includes among the faces was Aleister Crowley right there. And they put Aleister Crowley on the album, and most believe that Sgt. Pepper is a reference to Crowley. And so the Beatles had a lot of hidden, you'll see this, but you know, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, LSD, you know. They wrote a lot of coded, Paul McCartney said, yeah, he said, we write about two things, sex and drugs. That's what our music's about. Interesting. They cloaked it. Okay, so you got here the book The Beatles and Their Generation cites this. Christianity will go. It will shrink and vanish. I will be proved right. You just wait. We're more powerful now than Jesus ever was. That's John Lennon who said that. Okay, the blasphemy. Just, they're nasty people. Okay, I think they were satanic. I think they were very much used of the devil. And then their press secretary said the Beatles are completely antichrist. I mean, I'm antichrist as well, but they're so antichrist, they shocked me, which is not an easy thing. Okay, that's their press secretary. I'm just telling you, they were wicked people, okay? Wicked, and greatly used to the devil. Here you got a picture of, you know, the Beatles and the Maharishi. It was through the influence of the Beatles that millions of youth around the world were almost overnight turned away from Christ and to the gurus of the East. And in the late 60s and early 70s, Guru Maharishi Mahesh Yogi achieved fame as the guru to the Beatles. He toured with them and was given time during their concerts to indoctrinate the crowd. And now you've got yoga, all this. It was reported that millions of people began to study the teachings of the Maharishi or Yogi Yoga. And before the Beatles, Indian spirituality from India was not an everyday part of our Western culture. Through the hippies, followed the Beatles, yoga and meditation became a new fad. I don't know whether you know this or not, but yoga meditation is always practiced in the Middle East right before someone dies. The studying, the concentration, slowing your heart rate down. It's intended for somebody that's near death. That's what they use it for in India. We use it over here as it's goofy. But it's an occultic practice. I don't mind if you stretch. I don't mind if you do movements and all that. But don't get involved with yoga. You know what I mean? Movement's good for your body. But yoga and the clearing of the mind and all this bleh, it's sick. It's poisoned our culture. Now we have yoga on every corner. There was never anything like this until they came along, the Beatles. Yoga is actually a word that means to yoke and speaks of yoking with pagan gods. In other words, the clearing of your mind, it's all about being possessed. You know, empty your mind and can you the power that's within. That should terrify you as a Christian. We're told to be sober-minded. And so all of this teaching comes along here, John Lennon. He says, I feel like a hollow temple filled with many spirits, each one passing through me, each inhabiting me for a little time and then leaving to be replaced by another. He said that. People magazine reported that in 1988. And talking on the writing of his songs, he says, I don't know who the blank wrote it. I'm just sitting and the whole blank song comes out. That's demon possession. I'll show you that here in just a second, but a lot of rock singers have said that. He later said, I've sold my soul to the devil. So what year was John Lennon shot? Was that 67 or 68? How long has he been in hell? Isn't that sad? He's been burning for that long. His heart stopped beating and he hasn't stopped burning. In another interview later in his life, Lennon said the whole Beatle idea was to do what you want, right? Do what thou wilt. And he quotes Aleister Crowley. Then Timothy Leary, a Harvard professor and Crowley follower, okay, this is a yucky person, but he referred to the Beatles as the four evangelists and stated that rock music was as much a deconditioner as psychedelic drugs. It is designed to blow your mind and suspend your conditioned reflexes, and listening to a Beatles album is an hour of deconditioning. They all know what it does to your mind. It's amazing to me, people that listen to it and let it into their life, they think, oh, it's just the music I like. It is damaging you, okay? And they know this. But here we go. Something else he said. He said, don't listen to the words. He said, it's the music that has its own message. Okay? That's important. Okay? Coming from... Here's a Beatles song. But do you hear the drums? That's voodoo. It's amazing what's justified. You understand? And yet, that was in the 60s. We've come a long way from that. But the ingredients are the same. It's just got a different, techier sound, I guess you could say. Then comes along the Rolling Stones. While the Beatles, the satanic ideologies were hidden, and I told you, coded within the music, the Stone Stand was not as difficult to figure out. They're nasty people. if they could be worse than the Beatles, the Stones are worse. And the reason I'm gonna play part of a song, and we're not gonna listen to the whole thing. But why would I play a Rolling Stones hit, Sympathy with the Devil, name of their album, in church? What you're about to hear is being played in the mega churches, and they've been playing this song, singing it as a congregation for 10 years. This didn't just start. Everybody knew this song was bad when it came out. It amazes me. That's why when you start listening to rock music and you don't have any boundaries, what we're watching happen in the name of Christianity, it's just going faster and faster. But we're not going to listen to the whole thing. But notice the start of the song is the exact same voodoo drums with the screaming and everything that I played for you last week. Remember I played you old voodoo drums and new? It's identical. Okay, ready? Just brace yourself. That's how the song starts. That's voodoo. The polyrhythmic, remember, more than 3 beats a second causes your mind to shut down. The drums keep on going. Okay, so they're going to sing. Okay. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guessed my name. That song was written in the 60s. They're now singing that in Christian churches. That song. They didn't change the words at all. And they call it worship. I like what that one idea said. If you're using this type of music in church, could the devil be receiving worship under the guise of Christianity? And boy, wouldn't the devil be shown as the deceiver there? We go to church, but boy, we have a party and stuff like that. And you know God's not blessing that. You understand? God never has. So that's the only reason I'd play that. Now, I'll close tonight with this. The drums are what are used to put you in a state when you're looking for possession, okay? So we learned that with the occult. But rhythm does not have to include drums. I can take a song and sing good words the wrong way, okay? This is what I wanted to show you. Somebody said, I watched a musician one time, somebody said, hey, can we sing this in church? And he was an older man, been a song leader for years, and knew a lot more about music than I did. And I'll never forget what he did. He looked at the music, and then he said, I don't even have to look. He said, I don't have to hear this. He said, you can't sing this in church. That's rock music. And I said, how do you look at music and just recognize? You don't have to hear it. You can recognize it. And now through the years, I can look at a piece of music. I don't even have to know how it goes. I can automatically see that it's rock music. Okay? Let me show you a simple way of looking at it. I'm not going to belabor you. Just watch. I don't think this is over anybody's head. Just watch. There's a song Andre Crouch wrote in 1976. You've heard me kind of joke around about it. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the king. That was written in 1976 by Andre Crouch, okay? And I kind of joke around about it. I like the theme of the song, but when you look up close to the music, watch. There's a tie at the end of the measure that removes the first beat. Tie. The first beat is removed. The first beat is removed. The first beat is removed. This is all through the music. That is rock music. When you remove the first beat and you put the emphasis on the second beat, it's going to cause your body to do this. Your body is going to juke. Okay, I don't care if it's major. It's how God designed us to respond to rhythm. If you abuse it, yes, it can hurt you. So I took this song and I said, now here's how the song is sung. Notice no drums. Just listen closely. If I follow this music very just like it's written, soon and very soon, we are going to see the king. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the king. And I'm going to drop the first beat out of it. If I want to clean this music up and make it not bad music, listen closely. Okay? So I took the whole piece of sheet music and I changed the rhythm of the song. Let's zoom in on it so you can see what I did. Now listen to how it sounds. I'll sing it just like it's written. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the king. That affects you differently, doesn't it? Does me. I'm just saying, when you clean up the music, there's no drums involved, but you can sing words with a bad rhythm. Do you understand? And it's rock music, whether it has a drum and a lead guitar and a bass, it is based on the rhythm. And when you remove that first beat, that is called bad syncopation. And it affects your body, watch, and your heart the same way. It's hard on your heart. Rock music is hard on your body because your body is anticipating things and it's then, you know, all the polyrhythmic is what they call it, multiple that's going on. Your body's going, your head's shutting down. Let me show you one more time, okay? Soon and very soon, we are going to see the king. That's what you would call clean music. Okay? If I was going to sing the song, I wouldn't sing this song in church. Okay? You've heard me joke about it. The song's been around too much, and people know it too much the other way. If I got up and sang a special in church, soon and very soon, we are going to see the king. Everybody go home and listen to it the other way. Man, you a preacher saying it is soon and very soon. We are going to... I'm just telling you, it's been known too much the other way. Okay? But what I'm trying to show you is clean music. There's nothing that appeals to the flesh. All you can do is listen to the words. Okay? I like how our pianists play. They've been taught how to do so. But if I took this concept, and we're going to close with this, it amazes me the revival music of the last generation. And I'm talking in the 1940s, 1930s, when they were having revivals. In the 1800s, we've not had revival since the TV's been invented. Okay? You can do your own research. There's been no revival in America. Praise God. God is still saving souls, okay? But there's been no revival. Listen to the music of the revivals of the past, and then let's go to the next. If you want to shut it off, Dave, Listen how basic. This is what they sang. This is Road Heaver. He was a song leader for the revivals, okay, for Billy Sunday. And listen how basic when he sang. Now, it's going to warble a little bit because it was on a disc. Do you see it there?
I had a hard time seeing that left one.
Just kind of move your mouse around because just move your mouse around until it appears over on the left. This is Ira Sankey singing Blessed Assurance. Listen to the piano. Nothing fancy. Very basic, right? That was revival music. Nothing to get your flesh going. Just listen to the words, right? Isn't that the purpose of music? To teach you while you... Okay, I know it's downgraded. Can you play the other one? You'll have to stop the other one. You can only play one at a time. I should have made them shorter for you. I threw them on the PowerPoint. That was Ira Sankey. Okay? Can you move your mouse around over there? Okay. Hit that pause. Okay. You can't find the other one? Okay. We'll stop there. It amazes me what God blessed of the past. Those songs that we did, you can... Dave, don't do that because they're looking at the screen and not me. Okay? Everybody's going. I said that I wanted to stop tonight by just getting you to think. The purpose of music is to teach you the Bible. And I have no problem with some of the new songs today. I don't think it has to be old for it to be good. But somebody better be filtering the music. Somebody better be saying, is that clean? Is it right? Before it's sung in church? And if I'm the only one that's policing the music, I think lessons like this help our whole church to say, you know what? If Jesus tarries, I'd like our church to be around for another 15, 20 years. I don't want to be a church that used to play the good stuff, and now they play rock music because nobody was policing it. And if all of us are watching, thinking, Lord, look, I hope this goes further than the church. Somebody told me, oh, Brother Nash, I love your CD. I got it right in between, you know, Britney Spears and then what was the other? Garth Brooks. Yeah, it was right in my pickup truck right there. And I went, really? How come music standards? It didn't make me feel good. He was trying to say, hey, you're right up there with Garth Brooks and Britney Spears. And I was like, ugh, crud. I hope music lessons like this affect your home. There should be things you say, I don't let certain things in my house. My house is my haven. It's where I go to find refuge from the world. Amen. I don't let that stuff in my life. And our church, I don't expect you to play only, you know what I mean, only what we play in church at your house, but you ought to have a filter process. Amen. And I hope lessons like this, next week we'll go through the rest of the history. And like I said, you get into the 70s, it gets darker. You get into the 80s, it gets worse. MTV comes along. You get into the 90s, the homosexuality. By the time you get into the 2000s, music has done nothing but gotten more vile. Okay? And our society is so steeped in it. I hope, and if you need good music as a pastor, I'll give you anything. I have 850 music CDs on my computer. And if you need good music, all you got to do is speak. Amen? If you ain't got anything to put it on, I'll burn you a CD. I'll give you more music you can listen to all week long. But you've got to have good music. I hope this is a help. Let's pray. Father, thank you again. Lord, please bless these people. Help us, Lord, as your children. Lord, the world is so wrapped up in this. It's in everything. And Lord, help us please to, Lord, put guards up and shields up in our life. Lord, from all of the devil's, Lord, explosive dynamite devices. I just pray, Father, please bless these people. Use this, please, to your glory. And we love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Piano's going to play. Let's all stand. If you need an altar call, we'll have a short altar call. Christian, you can't play with the wrong music. It'll kill you, literally. It'll hurt you. Thank you again for your love, your word, Lord, salvation, your precious blood. Thank you for what you make available to us. Bless each home, bless each family, and Lord, please help us.